Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
3 days. 3 days that changed the world, changed history, changed eternity. 3 days. Have you ever wondered about those 3 days? Why 3 days? I mean, what was the reasoning of the Lord behind 3 days? 3 days of waiting. 3 days of silence. 3 days of not knowing. 3 days for the disciples of Jesus wondering. And I'm not sure they even wondered. I'm not so sure that they just felt it was all over. Why those 3 days? Technically, by the way, it wasn't technically 3 days. It was parts of 3 days. But it was long enough. In fact, I would say it was way too long. And as you are going through your periods of silence and wondering and doubting, however long that period is for you, if your opinion is sought, it's too long. It's too long. But there must have been a reason for 3 days. One reason I can think of for that 3 day interval from the time that Jesus was placed in that tomb and the time of his arising was to prove that he was dead. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days, and the gospel writer took note of that. So don't think he just passed out. Know that he was really dead. I guess the Lord knew there would be somebody somewhere, sometime that would say, oh, he didn't really rise. He just sort of swooned. That's one of the theories about Jesus' resurrection. He just swooned. And then his disciples woke him up, and it had the appearance of resurrection. I read a quote this week in my preparations. J. Vernon McGee, some of you may recognize that name. He's a writer on radio programs. He received a letter one time from one of his listeners who said, our preacher thinks that Jesus did not really rise, he just swooned. Did you know there are preachers who believe that? Oh, yes. And this lady had one. And so J. Vernon McGee replied to that letter, dear sister, beat your preacher with a leather whip for 39 heavy strokes, nail him to a cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, put him in an airless tomb for 3 days, and then see what he says. So maybe one reason for the 3 days, just to prove beyond any shadow of doubt that when Jesus was placed in that tomb, he was really dead. Maybe another reason, and I'm not sure exactly what to make of this, there is the sign of Jonah. Jesus mentioned it himself in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And Jesus answered, A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. For some reason, 3 days had significance to Jesus, the sign of Jonah. But I suspect there was that 3 days for another reason, and maybe the most important reason. It had something to do with the disciples. The disciples themselves, who were wondering and waiting. Because you see, waiting is part of faith. Again, so much of this I don't understand, but I know it's true. Waiting is part of faith. The Hebrews writer definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do not see. Do not see. Faith is believing in what is not seen. Oh, he had told them many times, after 3 days, on the third day, I'm going to rise. But now was the test of their faith, for the strengthening of their faith. Had they received immediate proof, it would not have led to the development of faith. I hope we all can understand that when we are in that painful, silent waiting period, it's not a wasted time. Waiting is part of faith. And just think too, as we contemplate those 3 days, what was happening during those 3 days? Oh, we know very little, but we know enough to know that there were some awfully important things going on during those 3 days. Part of it were some obvious things, again alluding to the gospel writers who recorded a good deal of the events of the death and the subsequent resurrection of Jesus. But one of the things that Matthew records in his gospel in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 and forward, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. And you know what? They were right. They were right. You see, these who wanted to keep the idea of the resurrection out of sight, they knew that if ever it could not be disproven that Jesus rose from the dead, it would be a deal breaker. And oh, it is. That's the importance of the resurrection. If Jesus did not rise, it's all over. If Jesus did not rise, Christianity is no different from any other world religion or philosophy. There is no difference. The resurrection, from the mouths of the ones who wanted to keep it quiet the most, is the most significant thing about Christianity. We know that was going on. The authorities maneuvering, manipulating to keep it quiet. But we also know that the disciples were about their task. They were making burial arrangements. They were getting things ready. They were buying things here and there. It was over. They wanted to be respectful to the body of Jesus. Oh, they loved Jesus so. He had such a good heart, showed such signs of promise. For a while there, they thought he was real, that what he said was real. His visions of a kingdom. Oh, there was nothing like it. No kingdom ever had been proposed like that. They almost feel guilty for having believed it. Because now it's all over. Hope is lost. And so they are about making preparations, dealing with their grief. And it was grief. They knew him as a friend, as a brother, and they saw him die. Oh, the emptiness they felt. So that was going on. But there were other things that were not in human sight going on during those 3 days. Do you know the date June the 5th, 1944? Does that date ring a bell with you? Now, I see some head shaking, yes, but I'm not so sure you do. Can you imagine what was going on June the 5th, 1944, in the White House, at the Pentagon, in England, in Eisenhower's headquarters? Can you imagine all of the preparations going on for those infantrymen, the Navy personnel? Because you see, on June the 6th was D-Day, when the back of the Nazis was to be broken forever. But June the 5th, June the 4th, June the 3rd, can you imagine all that was going on? If you think nothing was going on during this seeming time of silence, awkward silence, even painful silence, oh, think again. For one thing, we know that, and I mentioned this not long ago in one of my sermons, we know that Jesus went preaching during that 3 days. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 20, that during that time his body was in the tomb, Jesus himself went to pronounce his lordship to the spirits who were being kept in prison. All the way back from the time of Noah, these unbelievers, these scoffers, were all in that Hadean realm in prison. And of course, they're not the only ones. Unbelievers and scoffers still go there. They close their eyes in death here, and they wake up in that same prison. During those 3 days, for some reason, Jesus went to that prison and pronounced his lordship. There is no reference to an invitation song being sung. And it's not purgatory. The word purgatory is not to be found in the Bible. There is no indication in all of Scripture that anybody will have a second chance after they die to become a follower. No, they were in prison, had been since the days of Noah. They are still there. and will be there until eternity begins when Jesus comes again. But Jesus, or God sending Jesus on this assignment, felt it was necessary to show just what Paul had said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, can you imagine, just imagine, the unbelievers, the scoffers, then and now and to come in this Hadean realm, when they know it was all true after all. It was all true. Now, what else did Jesus do during that 3 days? If he did that, what else did he do? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. That's the only scripture that gives any indication of what Jesus did during that 3 days. But one thing we know, he was not in the tomb. Jesus was not there. He was busy. Your body will lay in a tomb somewhere, but you won't be there. When we say at a graveside service, this dear person we loved and ache for now because of their absence, when we bury them in the ground, they are not there. That is the truth of Scripture. They are not there. Jesus was busy during those 3 days. What was the Father doing during those 3 days? What was the Holy Spirit doing during those 3 days? What were the angels doing? The Hebrews writer talks about the ministering spirits assigned to those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews chapter 1, 14. We know they exist. We know they are active. We cannot see them. But if there is a scripture that even suggests the idea of guardian angels, it is that one. There are angels assigned to us. When you think you are alone, you are far from alone. When you think it is quiet, it is far from quiet. When you think it is inactive, nothing's happening, it's far from being inactive. Silence does not mean that God is distant, that He is remote, that somehow He is unwilling or unable to connect with our problems. The biggest mistake I guess we could make as human beings is to think God is way out yonder. And that my painful silence is just me being alone, trying to deal somehow with this thing called life. We know that at precisely the right moment, a moment, a second that had been in the mind of God since before creation, at the right moment, an earthquake shattered the world. The stone was rolled away and Christ stepped out of that tomb at precisely the right moment. I tell you, that helps me as I struggle with so many spiritual problems, prayer being one of them. I don't understand prayer. Many aspects of prayer I do not understand. But I like what Eugene Peterson wrote about prayer. He said, in prayer, we are aware that God is in action and that when the circumstances are ready, when others are in the right place, and when our hearts are prepared, He will call us into action. Waiting, Peterson said, in prayer is a disciplined refusal to act before God acts. Just because God hasn't acted, don't think He's not going to act. Not long before his death, Henry Nguyen, who has written many, many great books of great deep thoughts about God, about life, about Christians, wrote a book called Sabbatical Journeys. And in this book, he writes about some friends that he knew who were trapeze artists, of all things. Have you ever known a trapeze artist? I don't guess I ever had. But Henry knew the flying rudellas. And he uses the flying rudellas to make a spiritual point. They told Nguyen there's a special relationship between flyer and catcher on the trapeze. As the flyer, and by the way, the flyer is the one that lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches. As the flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes when he must let go. He arcs out into the air, and his only job, the flyer, is to remain as still as possible for just that split second and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck him from the air. And one of the flying rudellas told Nguyen, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. He must wait. Going back to Matthew's account of the resurrection, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 28, after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone. And I don't know if you've ever noticed the next words, but to me they are pivotal words. The angel came down, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. If you can read that and not smile, an angel of God, in demonstrating the immense power of God, seems to add insult to injury to the master of the universe, so-called, who thought he had every human being wrapped up so tightly in the jaws of the fears of death. The angel rolled back that stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. At precisely the right moment, God acted as he will act for us. At precisely the right moment, the stone is rolled away for us. In whatever it is, that painful, awkward 3 days of our lives, when God seems so far away, has he heard a thing I've asked for? Is he helping me at all? Does he have any idea what I'm dealing with here? Is all of this for nothing? Is this a joke? All of my sacrifices, all of my belief, all of my faith, has it been for nothing? When that 3 days comes for you, and I'm sure it has and likely will again, all of this that we've been talking about this morning is the lesson you need to hear. The resurrection story is your story. Hold on to it. Claim it. Lock your eyes like a laser on the resurrection of Christ, and don't miss the 3 days. The 3 days of quiet. You need to know that during those 3 days, God is moving heaven and earth to accomplish his purpose in your life. He is moving heaven and earth to arrange everything so you will be just where he wants you to be. And folks, the lesson is this morning, that will be done when you say the words, "Your will be done." You better mean it. And whether you do or not, it's going to be. Because God is God. And that brings me this morning to our weekly reading from Colossians. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Praise be God.